So today our sermon is entitled Christ Our Hope. Christ Our Hope. Christ Our Hope. Christ Our Hope. And in the light of that, our key scripture is going to be taken from Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And it reads, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Even in preparations for this sermon, I believe one of the key things we want to take away from today's sermon is that there is still hope for tomorrow. There is still hope for tomorrow. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It doesn't matter what is happening now. And it doesn't matter what is going to happen in the future. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have hope. In that light, I want us to take time and read. I want us to take time and read from Luke chapter 2, 1 to 27. So at this point, let's all take our Bibles. If you have your Bible close to you, let's take our Bibles and let's read together. So if you have your Bible, can you take your Bible? Let's read together. Luke chapter 2, 1 to 21. Great. So I read. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own hometown. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all the things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel
before he was conceived in the womb. Let the people of the Lord say amen. So in this scripture, we see how the sequence leading to the birth of Christ unfolded right from the census even down to the birth in a manger, and even the manifestation of angels to shepherds, and how Mary treasured the words that were spoken about Christ in her heart. And finally, the birth of Jesus Christ and the name that was given to him. So in verse 21, it says, and at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I think it's very important for us to understand four basic dimensions of even the story. The first dimension being the place of circumstances in life of Jesus Christ. And these are circumstances which are natural in order. The decree of the king, King Augustus. The happenings of no place even in for the baby to be had. And all these natural circumstances played a role for the fulfilling of each prophecy, for the fulfilling of each and every single prophecy. And we see going forward how the barriers that even came the way of Mary and Joseph and how they overcame them. And what does this tell us? That in life, we will have challenges. In life, we will have so many challenges, but we must rejoice because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Then it goes on to make known the fact that Mary treasured in her heart the words that were spoken to her. And I remind us, what words have been spoken to us? What are the promises of God that we behold in scripture that we hold dear to our hearts? Mary held and treasured them closely to her heart, and she saw them manifest. And the final point I want to highlight is Jesus, the Savior and redemption of creation. The name Jesus literally means God saves. And he is our redemption. He is our way, truth, and life. He is the one who has granted righteousness, salvation, even unto us, Gentiles, of no heritage, but called to a blessed lineage through the adoption by Jesus Christ. So I wrote something in summary, even of Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20, 21. I wrote, the birth of Christ was the fulfillment of over 300 prophecies in accordance to God's perfect will for the redemption of creation. God has not left us as orphans. God has laid down a plan for our redemption. And in this, Christ is the hope of the Old Testament, of which the whole Old Testament points to. Christ is that very hope of which all of the Old Testament points to. And we see the clear fulfillment even through the New Testament. So we continue even in understanding what it means for Christ to be our hope. Christ is our redemption from sin and our hope of glory. Isaiah 53, 5 to 6, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Oh, we have peace in Christ. And with his wounds, we were healed. And with his wounds, we were healed. And many people would say, is this healing only with reference to spiritual healing? I say this, that according to the will of the Lord has made provision for us to be healed physically. So even in times where COVID is sweeping throughout the nations, the Lord is able to heal. Even in times when our body is failing, the Lord is able to sustain us according to his perfect will. The Lord is able to heal us according to his perfect will. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him. Who is this him? This him is Jesus Christ. The iniquity of us all. The iniquity that, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, was born by one man, the first Adam, was taken away through life and abundance of grace, through the free gift of righteousness of the life of one man, which is Jesus Christ. So I really want us to take a minute and focus on this. The birth of Jesus Christ is redemption for you and I. Redemption from that destructive nature of sin. Redemption and forgiveness of the sin that we could not have paid for ourselves. Redemption from that nature that corrupts and only knows how to destroy. Redemption and unitedness, even in the spirit, even with our Father. Having access to him, praying continuously, receiving from the Lord, hearing what he has to say, and consistent fellowship with him. I want us to take a minute right now, and I want us to pray. And we want to pray for every single person who is sick right now. Every single person who is sick right now. Every single person who is sick right now. I want us to spend time praying just shortly for every single person who is sick right now. And we are praying that, Father, touch them with your healing hands. Touch them with your healing hands. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Pray. In the silence of your hearts, pray. Pray healing for everyone who is sick. Mention them by name. Mention them by name and pray for them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your healing hand that is sweeping all over the nation. We thank you for your healing hand that is touching families. We thank you for your healing hand that is being a blessing even to children. Father, may we receive of you. For indeed, by his wounds, we are healed. In Jesus' name have we prayed. Amen. So going forward, the birth of Christ is a great moment to be reminded of the redemption in Christ and the hope available to us in Christ Jesus. So our hope in Christ, what is this all about? Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. And of Christ Jesus, our hope. He described Jesus Christ as our hope. Because in sin, we were condemned. In Romans chapter 8, it says, we literally were condemned. We were condemned, but once we are in Christ, there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. For the law of sin and death has given way for the law of life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to describe Jesus in a very wonderful way as our blessed hope in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And we are going to get to that very shortly. He says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see a manifestation of an understanding of our blessed hope, that we have the grace that saved us by the hope of the appearance of Christ in a single time, in the first time. And we have another hope, which is the blessedness of his appearance, even in the second coming. And the second coming of the Lord shall be for all to see. And I remember in time past, we spoke about the coming of the Lord, the bridegroom. We spoke about the coming of the Lord and how it's going to be beautiful for us as bride. And this is another sign of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. He says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because Christ is in you, you are not left a destitute. You are not left an orphan. You are not going to be found condemned even on the day of judgment. Because Christ is in you, your life on earth is not a life without purpose. Because Christ is in you, there is glory that is revealed through you for the whole world to see. You are reminded daily that by the promises available to us by the Spirit, we have been made the light of the world to shine forth the glory of God, even for all of humanity to see. And all this was done by virtue of Jesus Christ through his coming, his birth, and his death, and his resurrection. We continue our hope in Christ. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. And I'm going to take it verse by verse to expound on the importance of Christ being our hope. If you have your Bible, you can follow me. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. For the grace of God has appeared through who? Through Jesus Christ, bringing salvation for all people, not just the Israelites, but the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to my family in Shamar, in the Western region. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to Buche's family in Papua New Guinea. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to Brother Sergio's family in Mozambique. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to Sister Betty's family in Ethiopia. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to Sister Emily's family in Hong Kong. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to every single person, all people of the earth. That if we come to him, confessing him, opening our hearts and believing that he is the Lord, we will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That the process of our salvation rests on no man except Jesus Christ. And it continues to say from verse 12, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And we see a second manifestation of this hope to overcome the world. We are not like the people of the world. And I say that not in any form of pride, but in all humility, being grateful to what the Lord has done for us. Our lives and nature are different from them of the world, because our nature is of love. Our nature is a nature of forgiveness. We are able to forgive. We are able to love. In our dictionary, unlovable is never mentioned in the dictionary of the believer, because in Christ, we are able to love all. In Christ, we are more than overcomers. In Christ, our nature, our newborn nature, overcomes sin.
which we could not have done by ourselves. Self-control. So if you have an issue with self-control, we run back to the Lord. Because we die daily in Christ, sacrificing the desires of the flesh. That is the greatest obligation of us being believers. Walking in obedience, even unto the calling where we have been made known to. And it goes on to verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We see the second fold, the third fold of the hope we have in Christ, where he will appear. He will appear. And I remember saying this, even in the preaching past, that when we accept Jesus Christ, our nature is instantly changed. The old is gone and the new comes. So the sin nature is completely dealt with, not by any work of man that we should boast, but by complete grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And when we go on from there, it doesn't end by just accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. It continues by the transformation of your very soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we read from Romans chapter 12 that we should not be conformed to the standards of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewal of our mind through the study of God's word. Even as we give ourselves to God's word, we build up the character of Christ in us. We reveal the nature of Christ, even as we live for him. And in that essence, we are left with one aspect, which is our bodies. Because when we become born again, our hormones are not born again. The best we can do to them is to put them under control. That is why when you are born again, still the flesh will still be fighting against the spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. And the enemy of the flesh will only be destroyed at the appearance of Jesus Christ. And that is what has been enshrined in verse 13 of Titus chapter 2, as we read, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his possession who are zealous for good works. So we see again how the bridegroom is preparing us for himself. So I concluded this aspect by writing this. Our hope in Christ is found on the grace of God. God had a plan from the foundations of the earth for the redemption of you and I. God had a plan from the beginning, before you were born. The Lord had prepared a way for your redemption. Even in the sense, the Lord had prepared for you to have an encounter with him, because he knows that there is no life anywhere except from him. Even when we read the book of John, the Bible clearly says, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in him, we find no other life outside except from him. There is no life we find in money. There is no life we find even in our own family except Jesus Christ. There is no life we find in our business. There is no life we find in food. There is no life we find from clothes, from nothing. The only life that satisfies is the life of Jesus Christ. And that we give glory to God, because he is the one that has redeemed us. He is the one that has purchased us by his blood. That is why many people fight addictions and yet they do not overcome, because they fight with their strength. That is why many people fight the world thinking they can overcome. But you can't overcome the world by your own strength. Your greatest strength is a filthy rag and so much weakness. So our hope in Christ is founded on the grace of God and the efficacy of the gospel of the kingdom. So like I made mention earlier, we see three different appearances of the hope.
The first appearance of the hope is to bring salvation for our soul. The second appearance of the hope is to encourage transformation, even in our lives on earth. And the third manifestation of our hope is with reference to the appearance of Christ. So I read again, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Today, I beseech you, if you have not received the grace and the abundance of gifts that's available in Christ Jesus, I beseech you to open your heart, even as we commemorate the birth of that one man who himself gave life unto us. I come before you asking that, will you accept him today? Will you give your life unto him? The Bible makes it clear for us to understand that he is our hope. In fact, he is our only hope. Indeed, he is the one and only one who can present us blameless even on the day of judgment. It is appointed for a man to live once, then to die, and after death, judgment. You may not believe in judgment. You may think that, oh, these people are a crazy bunch. But the signs are there for you to see. This watch I wear was designed by a man. And it's so intricate, so complicated. Imagine the world. Imagine your own physique. Imagine the biological makeup of plants. There is a mind behind all of creation. There is a planner behind your very life. Many things we do not understand. But indeed, even as Paul rightfully says, we know in peace, here a little, there a little. But at the end, when perfect knowledge appears, everything will be revealed. I come before you today, reminding you that on your own, you are of no good. On your own, there is no hope for you. On your own, you do not know what love is. For the Bible is so clear. If you claim to have God, yet you do not love your neighbor, then you do not have him. For he is the definition of love. For in him do we know the right way to love and to abide. So today, if you hear the sound of my voice, harden not your heart. Bow down your heads with me. And let's pray. Even as Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that we will be saved, today, will you believe that Jesus Christ came purposely to die for you and to give himself unto you? Today, will you believe that Jesus Christ came to give you hope? If you do, bow down your heads and say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I admit that I am a sinner, born in iniquity,
and that nothing good can come out of me. I admit that my ways are filthy, that my best of self is no good. Today I come before you, your throne of mercy, grace and favor, accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, surrendering my desires, my will, to accept him as my Lord, to accept him as my King. And to live by his very word. I accept Jesus Christ today as my Lord and personal Savior, committing myself and my ways to the Holy Spirit, guided by him and led by him in righteousness, holiness, and in all purity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And if you have prayed this prayer, I want you to rejoice in your heart, because you are living in great expectation of the blessed hope, which is Jesus Christ, who will come, and at his appearance, we will also take that same form where we would leave this body and be united with him forever, reigning with him in the life to come. Rejoice, O people of the earth, for you are not orphans. Even as we end our sermon, we want to take time again to pray and thank God for the church in Xiamen. So wherever you are, bow down your heads and let's pray, thanking God for the church and praying that even in these last days, the Lord will cause us to be able to do that which the Lord has declared unto us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Pray for the church. Pray for the church in Ghana. Pray for the church in China. Pray for the church in Zimbabwe. Pray for the church in the US. Pray for the church that we will not lose hope, that we will not give up. Pray for the church, that the glorious manifestation of our Lord will be joyful for us all. Pray. Finally, I want us to pray again. And we are praying for the spirit of forgiveness to sweep through families, the spirit of love to bind families. Let's begin to pray. Pray that the Lord will guide us to be able to forgive, to be able to love one another. That the Lord will guide us to be able to take care of one another. Pray. Pray for your family, that the love of the Lord will abound in your family, that you would love one another. Amen. Amen. So, family, this brings us to the end of today's sermon. And just a humble reminder, this week we are going to have our end of year prayers. and it's definitely going to be a blessing. The end of year prayers are starting from the 28th, 29th, and the 30th, from 12 noon to 12:45 every afternoon. And on Wednesday, we are having Pastor Favor from BICF in Beijing. And on Thursday, we are having Pastor Dale from Shanghai International Christian Fellowship. People always tell me I don't get that pronunciation right. Is it Shanghai or Shanghai? I always get it wrong. So we are having Pastor Dale from Shanghai, yes. And on the Friday, thank you. And on the Friday, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then on Saturday, we have our wonderful crossover. We have our wonderful crossover. And I really want to give us an assignment. If you are here and you have siblings and you have never told your siblings how much you love them, how much you care about them, I want to give you an assignment today. Take your phone, send a text to your siblings, your brothers, your sisters, send them a text, call them and tell them, I love you. I want you to explicitly tell them, I love you. Some of you, it's going to be difficult for you, but this is your assignment. Tell them how much you love them. And if they are close to you, you can give them a hug. You can bless them. But let's use this time to rekindle the love of family, the love of family. And finally, in January, we are having our month of corporate prayers. More details are going to be placed in the intercessory group. So if you are not in the intercessory group, we encourage you to really join the intercessory group and join us to pray. If you join the intercessory group, it is not for you to be dormant. It is for you to join so that you can effectively pray. The year 2023 is a year bound by continuous intercession and continuous prayer. So we are going to pray. XICF is going to pray. We are going to pray and we are going to fast. The Lord is going to rekindle passions for prayer. The Lord is really going to rekindle passions for intercession. You are going to intercede for your children. You are going to intercede for your nation. So we begin our year of prayer and understanding, even in January, with a corporate time of prayer. January is our corporate time of prayer, and we are praying every evening from the 2nd to the 31st of January, 8 p.m. to 8:45. 8 p.m. to 8:45. And I really want to encourage you to join us even as we pray. The Lord calls people onto prayer to fulfill a divine agenda. Prayer is a spiritual act, and we do not ourselves move ourselves even onto prayer. Just as the Lord, by his Spirit, drove Jesus even to the wilderness, the same way are we drove into places of prayer, where the Lord leads us to pray for families, where the Lord leads us to pray for churches, where the Lord leads us to pray even for our years ahead. So do not take it for granted. Let's join into prayer and let's trust the Lord even with what he's about to do. And finally, like we had in the announcement, we are having our donations, our Christmas donations to the aged in Xiamen, I was talking to the coordinator of the event and he told me, Brother Perry, it is so amazing how the Lord caused you to come to me to talk to me about this, because we were thinking, how are we going to get way to sponsor our usual giving even to the agent of the community? And the Lord has decided to use XICF as a channel to bless this group even in their giving to the agent in the community. So we are giving to each aged person one bottle of oil, one bag of rice, and some toiletries. And we are encouraging every single person, take this opportunity to give. Take this opportunity to bless. The cheerful giver is one person close to the heart of the Father. Not giving just because you are going to get something in return, but giving because it is obligatory, even for us as believers, to give unto the vulnerable, the orphans, to give unto the widows,
even according to scripture. So let's take the opportunity to give. The QR code was shared and definitely is definitely going to be available even when you talk to our secretary, Sister Vera. So definitely you can get in touch with her and you can give. You can give as well. So God bless you again. Have an amazing day. Spend time with family and let the Lord be glorified in your life. XICF, you are dismissed. Let's take the benediction. Wherever you are, let's take the benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord let his nature of love to be revealed over you. May the Lord give you a testimony even in this season. May the Lord cause you to see him in a different light. May the Lord take you deeper even in your walk with him. May the Lord open the eyes of your understanding to behold the riches that are available in Christ Jesus, riches of an inheritance, even for us as heirs to the throne of the Father. May the Lord open your eyes to see the promises available to you, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord give you peace, peace in your marriage, peace in your heart, peace in your ministry, peace with your family, peace with your children. In Jesus' mighty name, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you.